You know, as I was preparing this week for what the Lord would have me to say, I mean, it's Christmas, right? It shouldn't be too hard, right? But you know, Christmas is a special season. I mean, if you're like me, I love everything about Christmas and what it signifies and what it represents, right? I mean, the decorations, you know, the lights, the trees. I mean, there's a house right below us where we live. I mean, the guy just decorates it beautifully. I mean, you guys should come down and check it out. But you know, and you cannot forget the food, right? I mean, we got to try the food, right?
Yes.
And for some of us, you know, we got to get some. We got to enroll to the health club after we're all done, right, this year. But I mean, just the smell of Christmas, right? I mean, it puts you in a pretty much relaxed and somber mood. Amen? But you know, on the same token, others may take more of a cynical or different view of how they perceive Christmas, right? But nonetheless, while people's view may differ, the crucial question we need to ask ourselves is, it's not so much how others observe Christmas, but rather we need to consider what is the celebration of Christmas is to us, what the significance of Christmas is, and what Christmas really means to you. Yeah, let me ask you, what does Christmas really mean to you? Right? Have you ever thought about it? While we're in this Christmas season, see? Because it can get so commercialized, right?
Yeah.
But you know, as believers, we're all believers, right? We know deep in our hearts that Jesus is really the reason for the season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we try our best to keep Christ in our Christmases. And yet, you know, I was thinking about this, and yet Jesus gets so little of our time, of our attention, and of our affection, even especially during the Christmas holidays, when our focus should be on Him.
Yeah.
Our attention should be about Him, right?
Right.
Yeah. Think about this. I found out this survey. And you guys ever watch Joe Moore when he does the news? Towards the end, he always says, "Did you know?" Right? He ends, "Did you know?" He kind of gives you a question towards the end. Kind of like, "Mary, did you know?" Right? That was a beautiful song. Thank you, guys. But did you know that the average American, whatever that means, will spend 66 hours this year just preparing for Christmas? Yeah, that's a lot. And do you know that the average American will spend about $630.30 per family during Christmas, buying Christmas gifts? And do you know that a person will walk over 20 miles in the store in search of that perfect gift? Just to throw that out. The question I want to ask you is, what does Christmas mean to you, right? Now, I know what Christmas is not. Christmas is not a hypothetical, imaginary holiday, nor is it a philosophical idea that somebody just thought about. But seriously, Jesus is the reason for the season. He really is. I mean, I don't have to convince myself that Christmas is the reason, or Christ is the reason for the season. In fact, the meaning of Christmas, or you look at the word Christ, Mass, right? You break that word up, Christ, Mass, it's the celebration of the anointed. That's what Christmas means, the celebration of the anointed. And we know who the anointed one is, right? Yeah. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, right? So celebration is the celebration of our triumphant Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. You know, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Jesus, who was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How many of you know God is with us?
Yes.
He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God for us. And he's God living in and through us. Now, how many of you know, that's what Christmas is all about. That's the celebration of Christ. And that's why, I love the Gospel of John. You know, John's account of the Christmas story. You might not realize that, but John had a story about Christ, the true Christmas story. You know, in Matthew, he recounts of the exchange that went on between Joseph and the angel Gabriel. And Matthew also writes about the earlier days of Jesus' life. And Mark, on the other hand, jumps right into Jesus' adulthood, which is fine. And then Luke's account is more of the favorable one that we tend to be drawn to. It talks about Jesus in the manger. It talks about the shepherds. It talks about the three wise men who come and bring the gifts to Jesus. The shepherds have this glorious experience with the angels, which is great. And I'm not taking anything from that. But the Gospel of John, to my opinion, paints a clear picture, an in-depth view of what Christmas is all about. In John, let's look at that. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus became the light to the world in a time of darkness. And his life brought light to everyone, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never be extinguished. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. How many of you know we're here to be a witness and to tell and talk about the light? The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into this very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. Isn't it amazing that the world does not recognize him, right? It's one thing the world doesn't recognize him. It's a different thing the church doesn't recognize him, right? He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came into his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. What a privilege to be a child of God. If we're a child of God, then he's our Father, right? They are reborn not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Verse 14, so the Word became human. Notice that. The Word became flesh and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about, when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God, is nearer to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us. You know, to put it in a nutshell, Christmas is the celebration of the eternal Word. That's Jesus. Jesus who resided in heaven co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, coming to this earth and putting on human flesh. That's what God incarnate means. God became a human, right? God in the flesh. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew our sorrows. He died for our sins to reconcile, to resolve, and to bring us back into right relationship with Father God. Isn't that amazing? He came to show us the way back. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. So he came to show us God's love, God's truth, and God's grace in a way that we would never, ever have known otherwise. You know, the Bible declares he, God, made him, Jesus, to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus became sin for us so that we could be made in right standing and right relationship with God. Jesus became that bridge where sin came in, sin and disobedience separated us from God through Adam, right? Jesus became that bridge, that gap that separated us, well, not separated God, but separated us from God, because man fell. God was still at his place. Jesus became that bridge to restore, to resolve that relationship back with God. Aren't you glad that this happened? I'm glad. Because it shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that even in our fallen state that we were, and some of us were in bad shape, amen, and that's what sin does. I mean, we don't have to go that road, right? We know where we were, we know where we are, and we know where God's taken us, right? And we thank him for that. But despite of where we were in our sin, God still desired to reach down to you. He still desired to reach down to me because God was beyond our reach. But yet, he reached down to us. Religion tries to reach God. Everyone, you know, on their own self-effort try to reach God. But there's no way you can reach God on your own. God purposely reach down to us. Yeah? Because God was beyond our reach on our own. There's no way we could reach God on our own works. You know, there's a lot of people who's trying to reach God on their own works. And that's what religion is. Trying to reach God by your own works or your own methods. Even in that sinful nature. In fact, Ezekiel says, man's righteousness is as filthy rags. No matter how good of a life you live in your eyes, apart from Jesus, we're like filthy rags. Yeah, that's God's word. But in Christ, we become right standing with him. Yeah? So God was beyond our reach, but we were not beyond his reach. Jesus lowered himself. The Bible says he condescended to us. He came down to our level to meet us where we were at. And that's the one wonderful thing about ministering in the facility. You know, you connect with people, you meet them at their level, but then you know, you tell them that, you know what, there's a higher level that you can go in Christ. Amen. Right? You connect with them in that level. And that was, that's what Jesus did. He came down to our level. But he didn't live, aren't you glad he didn't leave us there? Amen. He brought us up to his level in Christ so we could reach him. And that is the Christmas story about Christ's Jesus' birth. The infinite God within reach of a man who is finite, who's limited. God who is without limits reached to us as we were limited, right? I came across this story. A Christian artist and songwriter by the name of Sandra McCracken. On her album, she writes about a story about two young boys, brothers, in fact. They lived in Missouri and spent their summer playing by some sandbag levees that had held back some of the extreme flooding that happened past decades on the Mississippi River. And tragically, as the two boys were playing there, they found themselves in quicksand, resulting in the breach of the levee. And when the rescue workers finally found them and assisted them in helping them, they found out that only the younger brother was standing in the quicksand. And one of the rescue workers asked, where's your brother? And the younger brother says, I'm standing on his shoulder. I'm standing on my older brother's shoulder. They come to realize that the older brother had actually sacrificed his life to save his younger brother while he was under the quicksand. And that's a true story. You know, the Bible tells us that there's none righteous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin will always sell you short of the glory of God, of God's best for each and every one of us. Yeah? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. How many of you can say, Jesus found me? Yeah. When I was lost, he found me. He found you, he found me. And I'm so glad that he did. He not only found you, he found me, but he brought us out of wherever we were. And our sister, you received Christ this morning. Amen. You know? And God found you this morning. That's the best gift you could ever receive. It's the gift of eternal life. Eternal life begins today. It doesn't begin when you get to heaven, but it starts right now. In fact, eternal life and abundant life begins the very moment that you receive Christ. In fact, the moment you receive Christ is the moment that you begin to really live life that is supposed to be lived in Christ. Amen? So just as the boy was standing on his big brother's shoulder, we too are standing on Jesus' shoulder. He's our big brother. And it took our older brother, Jesus, to sacrifice himself so that we could be saved as well. One of the wonderful scriptures, John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that the world might be saved. God didn't send Jesus to condemn us, to declare us guilty. Right? I mean, even the courts say, you know, you're not guilty till you're proven, right? You're innocent till you're proven guilty. And so is God. He doesn't condemn us, but he came to save us. You know, Christmas reveals to us God's desire to have fellowship with us, with man. And His desire is to meet us at the point of our need. Isn't that good news? That He meets us right at the point of our need. And what need is that? We were lost in darkness. And we needed light. Light is the absence of darkness. And God gave us light. Light is His word. Light is His truth. The Bible says the entrance of His word gives us light. It's amazing how light or truth shines in darkness. Yeah, it's the absence of darkness. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." What else did we have need of? We needed life. For we were all condemned to die in our sin, but in Him was life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. He says, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But we want to focus on Jesus this morning, right?" Yes. That's right. He's a liar. But Jesus says, "I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Let me ask you a question. How would that look in your life? Abundance more than you expect. Life in its fullness until it's overflowing. That's what Jesus came to give us. Amen. Jesus was God's way of meeting us and taking us where we could never go. Let me repeat that again. Jesus was God's way of meeting us and taking us where we could never go. Yeah. And some of you, look at your life, you go, man, you look where you were and where you are. And you cannot imagine. It was God that brought you where you are today. And if God was faithful to bring you all the way there from here, don't you think that God would take you even further? And He will. God meets us where we are at the point of our need. You know, if our greatest need was money, then God would have sent us a banker, right? You know, if our greatest need was knowledge, then maybe God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need was wisdom, then God would have sent us a philosopher. And if our greatest need was entertainment, God would have sent us an entertainer. But how many of you know our greatest need was neither all of those things, but man's greatest need was forgiveness. It was forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins against God. So God sent us a redeemer who would pay His way to purchase us back. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give His life in exchange for the salvation of many." And that's what the Christmas story is all about. It's about Jesus. You know, I mentioned this the other Wednesday ago. You know, it's not hard to look around in our world and to see some of the things that are going on, which is not pleasant. And to watch the news and hear about what the things are going on in our nation and all the things that we hear and we see, you know. We know what they are. And to realize that We basically live in an imperfect world. A world that was once perfect and made good by God has now become flawless, flawed, imperfect, and fallen. And that's what the whole Christmas story is about God sending Jesus in human flesh and dwelt amongst men and became part of us in this land that we live to lay his life down for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, the Word, became human and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Now, just let that sink in for a moment. God became human. God, who is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, came as a human to Jesus, as Jesus. You know, some of the things we gotta just let it marinate for a while, right? So, what I'm saying is enjoy the sweetness of Christmas and what it signifies. Enjoy your friends and your family as you gather together. Have some of that white chocolate. In fact, indulge in your favorite Christmas dessert, whatever it might be. And then go work it off a couple weeks from now. One of those Planet Fitness place. Go shop. Go sit in the traffic. You know, enjoy. Go coma out on those Christmas classic movies that come on the TV. You know, go read a good book on a Christmas novel. But this is what I want you to understand. Don't lose sight or the sense of the awesomeness of what Christmas is all about. Or more, let me put it this way. Don't lose sight of the awesomeness of who Christmas is about. Yeah, focus for a second and remember that God's only begotten Son, Jesus, became human. And that's the Christmas story we need to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
So let's bow our heads this morning. And Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for coming and reaching out to us, Lord. Lord, we couldn't reach you on our own in the state that we were in. You said, for all have fallen short, Father, from the glory of God, and we have fallen, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that you reached out to Jesus and you were able to reach us and bring us back into right relationship to you, Lord. You have restored us. We thank you, Lord, that whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we might be saved. And Lord, as your word says, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth we are brought into salvation, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we gather together in our families and we go our separate ways today, Lord, let us be mindful of the awesomeness of who and what Christmas is all about, that you truly are the reason, Lord, for this season, and that we don't get too involved with the commercialization of Christmas and what it's trying to impose upon us. But we can stop and say, you know what? That's all fine. But this is what Christmas is about to me. And Lord, that we can share that message of reconciliation with others, Lord, as we gather with friends and families, that we can share that message of your love and truth and grace, and that we can also be God in the flesh as well as the body of Christ, and that we can share that message and not be fearful about it, Lord, but be able to open our hearts and be able to bring people to know you as well. So, Father, we just bless your people this morning. And we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And the people of God say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Receive the word this morning.